Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we're talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We're getting into discussing experiencing supernatural in the supernatural realm as it is for each one of us. Your supernatural experiences are different than mine or anyone else's. So this is one of the ways that God encourages you to depend on Him. We're not looking for tricks or procedures or ways of approaching the supernatural realm that will control it. Instead, what will control it is learning to live and move and have your being in your true identity as a spirit being. So we're not going to try to use the strength of our flesh, our mind, our will, or our emotions to impact the supernatural realm in any given way. That would be using our self-life, our flesh, to manipulate the solical supernatural realm. Instead, what we are learning to do is first, recognize that in our spirit, we already are exerting authority over the supernatural realm. That's arm's length, wherever you are right now, that's your supernatural realm. You, as a spirit, are already exerting authority and responsibility over that realm. Having a soul, we also, though, hinder that ruling and reigning. And so to learn to cooperate with our spirit, we have to learn from our soul how to perceive and cooperate with our spirit in the supernatural realm. To do that, our senses, solical senses, must be activated and fine-tuned, and then through the learning process, we develop confidence. But also then how to exert that authority with our soul in conjunction with our spirit. One of the byproducts of the process will be able to learn to distinguish not only what's going on in the supernatural realm, but because right now what you're listening with and what you're believing and your consciousness, let's say, is all in your soul. As you are changed to become more aware and receiving life from your spirit, your consciousness will become more aware of not only what's going on in the solical realm, the supernatural realm, but also the spiritual realm, where God is and where your true identity is. So the more you depend on God and develop a conscious awareness of the supernatural and solical spiritual realms, you will truly begin to perceive God and your own identity. your spiritual identity. It's the same faculties, senses, that you need to rule and reign over the supernatural realm will also give you the entirety of what's going on in the spiritual realm. And we're not looking for a partial insight. We want to have our expectation that everything that's going on in the supernatural realm and in the solical realm, God wants us to be participating in. There may be things that God does not want at a particular time for us to know about. That's fortunately his choice. He just doesn't, you know, we can't demand that he explain himself or that he reveal precisely what's going on in any given situation. He's entitled to hide what he wants. But those things that are reserved for us for this time, we have a full expectation that he is going to make it plain and clear to us. And again, to do that, he's redeveloping our dependence and our understanding of our solical senses. And rather than getting into a huge description at this time of your solical senses, let God bring to the surface any interest or desire you have had to investigate the supernatural realm. And trust that that desire is from God. And we'll talk about some of the fears and concerns we have in investigating the supernatural realm and really see what God says about that. That if we have that confidence that God knows what he's doing and that he's the one teaching us, that we're not going where he doesn't want us to go, we're going precisely where he wants us to go. And it's been because we've been believing a lie that we've not gone there. So we, moving forward, as part of the process of knowing God, we want to desire supernatural experiences. Your desire is going to be different than mine or anyone else's. And that's the way God wants it. It's not a, you know, one is better than the other or more timely than another. It's simply an individual training that God has you on. But we want to embrace the whole concept that if this is training, this is something we can embrace and do and take an interest and take seriously. That just like anything else we learn how to do, we can learn how to do it. We can develop an approach for ourselves, or take ideas others have developed and try them for ourselves, but remembering that the goal is to depend on God, hearing from him regarding any specific approach we take. What we're going to talk about is approaching supernatural experiences from a very practical way along a particular and very general set of steps. That doesn't mean what someone else has learned is better or worse, is from God or not from God. The final test is what you are learning, is it bringing you into greater dependence on God? Or is it building up your own ability, your own confidence in being able to figure things out, or your own beliefs, or on your own ability in some way to manipulate or change or affect what God has, the circumstances God has put you in. In other words, we hide behind words like calling and anointing and mantle and office, like the office of a prophet or apostle or an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor. And we use those titles or descriptions as a way to enter into the supernatural realm. For instance, if we say that we have an anointing for healing, then we wade into taking authority in the supernatural realm based on our perception that our power and authority is because we have an anointing and healing. So when we, for instance, pray for someone or ourselves in regards to healing, it will be with the confidence that we have an anointing for healing. That anointing for healing is a solical concept, not a spirit concept. So when we look at, and we will eventually look at some of these terms, when we look at the concept of anointing, this can be done by people who are not Christians. And that's another test, is can this be duplicated by someone who is not a Christian? Now, Christians have a tendency to look at people who do this without being Christians as people being involved in the occult, or some New Age type of thing, or some other form of religion, not realizing that Christians do the same thing. They just happen to be Christians. So the distinction is not the activity. It's the dependence. It's the source. The distinction between Christians and non-Christians is not the presence of activity in the soul, the ability to heal or perceive or know the future, or being a myriad of different supernatural gifts. Those supernatural gifts reside in the soul. So we don't want to think that what we are believing, what we have been believing, is exclusive to Christians. Rather, it's part of our soul, our soulical nature, which is not our true identity. It's just part of, it's what God gave you as part of the package here on earth. Instead, you as a Christian are different from anyone else because you are a spirit being. You have been regenerated because you have believed in Jesus Christ as birthing you, making the way for you to be birthed, rebirthed, re-spirited into a new creation, a new creature, that without him, you were dead in your spirit. And through believing in him and receiving, being born again, and that's when we're not talking about our beliefs, we're talking about a real experience. And that's one of the problems we have, is so many people, because they go to church or they believe the Bible or they've said the sinner's prayer, they've not really had an experience. And that experience doesn't have to be, a earth-shattering one. Very often it's very subtle, but by the effect it has on our lives, that we begin to hunger and thirst and desire to know God. But just as many Christians, and I think I've shared it here before, that there have been so many times when it's been a while since I've been involved in a couple of these groups, but where pastors who have been pastors for decades have had a salvation experience. where they've been pastoring. They've gone through seminary and been pastoring and leading others to Christ, but have not been saved themselves. So we want to be aware of the distinction. But in that distinction, we don't want to cede. We don't want to give up our rights over the supernatural realm. When we say, we're not going to go there because that's the devil's playground, for instance, you know, whatever. You pick the terminology that you know, where you, as a Christian, you've been warned, don't talk to demons, don't talk to angels, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't ask for these experiences. If God wants you to have them, you'll have them. You need to take those beliefs to God. Because if you are being told or believe that there's any part of this realm that we're in right now, that if there's any place that you can't go, you're believing there's some place that God can't go. He's given us this realm, this earth time here, to learn to rule and reign over it. And if you think there's an area where you're not allowed, not because God has says this isn't for you yet, but because it's too scary or you won't be protected or whatever, you fill in the blank, then you're disagreeing with God. And you're believing a lie. And in that area, you will be vulnerable. You'll be vulnerable to fear, to misunderstanding, and it may even block you from being able to receive life from God in that area. So every step of the way, we ask God, what is it? Is there anything that you want to talk to me about here? Is there anything that I'm supposed to be learning? Now, just to share a quick experience, just to give you an indication of what we're looking at. When quite a while ago, I could see the Lord was taking me in a certain direction in which I would be dealing with the demonic. And like most people, I had a real concern. And so in talking with the Lord, I discovered with him, by his revelation and bringing these things to the surface, that what I was really concerned about was that I would react incorrectly, that I would do something wrong, and that my mistake, my not being able to handle it correctly, someone would get hurt, either myself or someone else. If I was praying for someone and there was a demonic manifestation and I did something wrong, they could be hurt. And so it was, you know, I learned, okay, that's my problem. And so I asked God that, you know, I couldn't change that. I had that concern, and as far as I was concerned, that was a valid concern. And so I needed him in order for me to be going forward in that direction that he wanted me to go in. He'd have to change that. He'd have to address that concern. And then I just left it in his hands. Well, maybe a couple weeks later, maybe a little longer, didn't really, you know, put these things down on a time frame, but he had, where I was working, a demonic presence manifested itself. Now, I won't get into any great detail, but it was a not very non-threatening manifestation. But it was clearly a manifestation. It was not something, it was not something that I was afraid of, but it was obvious. It was not something that I was fearful of, but besides being startled. And the experience with this thing lasted a couple minutes, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And it gave me plenty of time to observe it. And I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was observe, and it left. And I actually was able to follow up with my certain observations and have others, you know, confirm that certain aspects of that experience were shared experiences. Other people had similar types of things going on. But what I came away from that experience with was with a confidence that God knew my concerns and would address them. Secondarily, I realized that however I reacted would be appropriate, and that even if I made a mistake, that would be okay. So it was not something that God convinced me of by talking to me. He didn't give me a scripture verse or a song to sing or a prayer to say. It wasn't because I was particularly prayed up. It was during work hours. I was sitting behind my desk, and this thing manifested on the floor in my office. Nobody else was around. I was doing something else, and God just picked that time to do what he wanted to do. And when we realize that God wants us to have confidence in him, but it's not confidence that comes from trying hard or believing the right thing or pumping up our faith, whatever that is, it's by experience. How do you know someone loves you? Because you've gone through things where that love has been expressed. Now, many of us go through our entire lives without ever being in a truly loving relationship because it's never been tested. There's an excellent movie called Ordinary People. And it's about a family with two sons. And one of the sons, there's a boating accident with both of the sons out on a sailboat. And one of them drowns. And the younger survives. And we find out through that dynamic that the couple, the parents, had never had to deal with tragedy, had never had to deal with anything that rocked their boat. And it was through the circumstances and the death of their son that they found out that they had built a life together, and they both were satisfied and happy with that. But that was all there was. There was, when that love was tested by outward circumstances, there was no shared life. The life that they had built together was an outward life. And they did not know how to draw strength from one another. And this was not supposed to be a Christian movie, so it was not about depending on God. But they did not have, they were not able to share strength one to another. And that's what we find out with our relationship with God, is that if we are relying on our own ability to get something from God, you know, when we're going into a difficult situation, we all have our little tricks, you know, that we're going to pray, you know, to God, and we're going to say this, you know, prayer, and be, you know, say we're going for a job interview, and we really need the job, and we go through a routine, you know, that we pray God's blessing, and you know, give us, you know, good grace when we go in, give us favor, for instance, rather than let God have the opportunity to let us know what he's going to do in that interview. You know, others just say, well, Lord, if you want me to have it, I'll get the job. Rather than see every single opportunity we're going into, and sometimes a crisis or a difficult, stressful situation is more beneficial. We can get more done because we want to learn how to draw strength from God. We want to learn how not to do it for ourselves. And very often that involves the process of God removing our strength, putting us in situations that we can't handle. So that happens not only in life, in our normal personal relationships, in your natural circumstances, but also in as we start to discover the supernatural realm. Be assured, rest assured, God will put you into circumstances that you can't handle. And he will do it on purpose and deliberately. And it's not because you've done something wrong. It's because you've done something right. There may be things, there will be things, situations that he will put you in, that you will do it wrong, that you will make mistakes. That doesn't mean you weren't ready. We have to be just as ready to make mistakes as we are to do things right. Let me repeat that. You and I, especially as we move forward in dealing with the supernatural realm, we have to be just as ready, just as prepared to make mistakes as we are to do things correctly. God does not see one over the other, because his goal is you. You depending on him. Not you becoming valuable to him because now you're ruling and reigning and now he can use you to accomplish something. No, now it's because you're depending on him in that area. And whether you do it wrong or right, we have to learn how to depend on him in both circumstances. Think about if we did, if preparing, being prepared and being ready always resulted in our doing things right, our emphasis would always be on how prepared we were. Our focus would be back on ourselves. Rather than trusting that God will have us ready. And so we would be judging our actions. How are we doing based on how well the results turned out? Rather than, are we depending on him? So think this week, ask the Lord, is there any area of fear or concern or interest that he wants to talk to you about? And write it down. Let and discuss with him. Give him time to talk to you about these things. And we'll be picking it up there next Thursday at 7:30. So now, for now, thanks for tuning in. Our next show is Saturday. Be sure to tune in at 9 o'clock. We're talking about tithing. It's a real important series, so I hope to talk to you then. Until then, have a great rest of the week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.